Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside David Beauclair and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Ron texting in. Regardless of the scenario and whether we win the number one seed or the division, when do you guys think we should start resting guys, if any? Do you think there's a scenario where the Titans rest some players coming down the stretch if the number one seed is still on the table? I say no.
My take on this is you do not rest guys, even if you have the division. You know, like maybe you rest them for the second half or the last quarter and a half of the last game or whatever. But the whole point is – of trying to get healthy is also get this lineup back together, right? And I look at it this way. You go back to training camp, right? What did the Titans do during training camp? They went to great lengths to rest and protect Derrick Henry and Bud Dupree and A.J. Brown and Julio Jones and Roger Saffold and Taylor Lewan and make sure those guys were all healthy at the start of the regular season. And what happened at the start of the regular season? They got their rear ends handed to them.
Yeah, they did.
And that's fine because they bounced back from that just without, okay? They did just fine coming back from that. You get your rear end handed to you in the first round of the playoffs, that's it,
yep.
Right? At some point, this team needs to get these guys together and playing together and playing well together in order to be ready for the playoffs. And that's so if you're able to get all these guys healthy and you have a chance to go to Houston in week 18 and play everybody and beat Houston 52-3, do it. Because at some point you can't just show up at the playoffs and say, "Okay, we've got all our guys, they've rested, they haven't played in a while," and think you're going to win playoff football. That's not how this thing works.
It's not how this thing works, and you know it's interesting. You know the injuries are the story, right? Obviously, but we're sitting here talking about a Titans team that was at 30 points a game last year. You're at 24.9 right now. We all talked about heading into the season, the offense was the story with this team, with A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, Derrick Henry. Had a chance to be one of the great offenses we've seen in a long time, and it just hasn't happened that way due to injury. Now, we've also, you look back at even from the start of the season, from basically the first part of the Colts game on, you've not seen the offense together all that much.
Yeah.
A.J. Brown got hurt early in that Colts game. Julio Jones got hurt later in the Colts game. Derrick Henry's been out since the second Colts game. So we don't really know what this team looks like with all their pieces together. We hadn't seen it.
And that's fine, again, if you can get them all together. But playoff football is about being physical.
Yep.
And you have to build that physicality along the way. That's why I say you can't just say, okay, all these guys have been rested and been sitting out, now we're going to show up for a playoff game. You can't just do that. You can't replicate it. You can't prepare for it by practice. You have to go out on Sundays and beat some people up. And that's why I think if at all possible you've got to play these guys to the finish now. That's the approach needs to be, how can we be at our physical football best in terms of being able to push people around?
Let's go back to the text line. Matthew texting in. If Cade Mays declares for the NFL draft, the Titans need to get him. We need an offensive lineman of his caliber. What is your opinion? I mean, Cade Mays, if he goes to the draft, he's probably a fourth rounder at best, would be my guess.
I mean, if you're John Robinson at this point, you know, kind of what you need to do is you need to find another Nate Davis, right?
Yes.
A third round draft pick who dropped in there as soon as he was healthy and ready to go his rookie year and looks like he's going to be there for 10 years. Like, that's you've spent too much draft capital on Isaiah Wilson and Dylan Raidens, and even though you haven't solved the problem, you still, you know, you have to address other issues at some point. So, you know, somebody texted in earlier about a tight end. Like, there's, you know, we're sort of moving into a golden age of tight ends. You look at what Pat Freiermuth has done at Pittsburgh, for example, this year. You know, there's a, if you can get a guy like that or something close to a Jonnu Smith again, that'll turbocharge your offense a little bit. You've got a, you know, there's a lot of spot. You know, Julio Jones might be a one and done, right? And at a certain point, you've got to draft a wide receiver to play with, to pair with AJ Brown for the long term.
Yeah.
Is Logan Woodside your long term solution as a backup quarterback, or do you need to try and get a little better there? You've drafted Cole McDonald last year. That didn't work out. You know, I mean, there's a lot of issues here. Kevin Byard's not getting any younger at safety. You at some point, you need to start thinking about who you're going to pair with Amani Hooker for the long term. I mean, these are the kinds of things. And none of this is news to John Robinson. The question is, how does it all come together? How does it all play out here over the next couple of years?
By the way, on the Cade Mays front, was on a show last night, said he's 50-50 on coming back to Tennessee in 2022, and that he's looking for an NIL deal that would pay him third or fourth round money. So what that tells me is he's gotten some feedback. He's probably looking at being fourth, fifth round draft pick.
Well, he just wants to get paid one way or the other.
Exactly.
And he'll be happy to spend another year in college if he can get paid there. Right. If not, he's a, you know. And you look at what's going on at the University of Texas and their, you know, their NIL deal right now. I mean, this
maybe
NIL,
he transfers to Texas.
This NIL deal is really, it's really going to change college football in a way that I think the bigger conferences are going to be really happy with.
Got a YouTuber that says the starters did nothing in the preseason and they looked rusty.
Yes.
For the first three games of the year. You're exactly right.
I mean, you've got to get them game action and meaningful game action before the playoffs. It's foolhardy to think that they can just show up for the playoffs and be ready to go that way. I just don't see that at all.
So how would you handle Derrick Henry? Obviously, look, we don't know when exactly he's going to be available, but we talked about a little bit earlier. There is, I think, growing optimism based on reports that we've heard that at some point he could be back out there and able to play for the Titans this year. Is there any chance that you put him in before the regular season is over if he's available to do so? Or are you waiting as long as possible if you're the Titans with this?
I'm waiting as long as possible. Everything I have read and seen about this sort of injury is that anything resembling too early leads to a great chance for re-injury.
Yep.
And you add to that the position he plays and what's required. And you add to that the fact that he's 6'3", 247 pounds, doing the things that are required of that position. And it's just, you know, I have said this before. Mike Vrabel loves to say it. He goes, the health and safety of our players is number one. And I'm sure they think that, and I'm sure they believe that in most cases. But you also need to win.
Yep.
And you also need to try and win now. And you know that your chances to win are much better with Derrick Henry, and if it comes down to that, and there's a discussion, and you've got eight people around the table, and Derrick Henry saying, I want to play, let me play, and the doctor saying he shouldn't play, and this doctor saying, well, I think he can play, and this, like, just imagine, you know, whether it's John Robinson, whether it's Mike Vrabel, whoever has to make the final decision. I cannot imagine there will be a situation where it's 100% around the room. Everybody says, yep, this is fine. This is no problem. He's going to be good. It is going to be a hard decision whenever that time comes.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. David Beauclair in today for Joe Rexroad. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans coming up next. The NFL playoffs are almost here, and to help you stay on top of the action, FanDuel Sportsbook is giving you a $10 bonus when you place $20 in same-game parlay bets. And you can bet on a single game or spread your bets out across multiple matchups. That's up to you. As long as you bet $20 in same-game parlays during the same week of NFL action, you're getting a $10 bonus. My beloved Green Bay Packers in action this week, taking on the Baltimore Ravens. Give me the Packers on the money line. Their offense has figured it out. Give me Devontae Adams over on receiving yards, but you take it any way you want to take it. Offers like this are why I love betting with FanDuel Sportsbook. It's America's number one sportsbook, and if you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, you can sign up using promo code ROB to place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Once again, that promo code is Rob. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max bonus of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. ESPN 102.5 The Game and Music City Man Cave want to treat one lucky listener to a Manistee treatment package. Text CAVE now to 615-737-1025. That's CAVE to 615-737-1025 and be entered for a chance to win the Music City Man Cave Christmas giveaway. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio and streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube, brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We'll be joined coming up here in about 15 minutes by Adam Vingan from The Athletic. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators, a potential COVID situation reported yesterday by Frank Saravalli, and his thoughts on the way they're playing as well. That coming up at 9:30. Right now, taking your thoughts on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Our buddy Dennis texting in: if Derrick Henry re-injures the foot, then he's got an entire offseason to heal. If you can go, or if he can go, you play him. It's coming from Dennis on the text line.
Dennis says, damn the torpedoes.
Derek?
If he,
you suck it up, buddy. Get out there and play.
I'm not sure, you know, that Derrick Henry, like, even if he comes back, I don't think he's Derrick Henry that we've all come to know and appreciate the last couple of years. And I'm not sure he's ever going to be that guy again. I mean, foot injuries and running backs are just a terrible combination. I mean, ask Eddie George and the toe he had in 2001 that changed his career dramatically. And you know you can find lots of examples of that. I don't I agree to a certain extent. I mean, the Titans are all in on this year as it is right now anyway. Like we talked about it earlier. Like you don't trade for Julio Jones, and you don't sign an Adrian Peterson in that situation. You don't sign a Golden Tate. You don't claim a Zach Cunningham off waivers. I mean, Titans aren't just adding players, right? They're adding proven guys that they think can be difference makers when they need them. They're all in on this year. So I don't think there's any doubt that if they're convinced he has a chance to get through a game healthy, that they're going to put him out there. They're not going to err on the side of caution with him. It's just where does that moment come, and how hard is it to make that decision?
Well, and he's going to be lobbying to play.
He's absolutely going to be.
Yeah. So, you know, I think you expect that from him. Now, also, you know, part of your job is as an organization, sometimes you do have to protect the player from himself. And if there is a long-term risk, I don't know what that looks like with this specific injury. If there is a long-term risk, I think you got to really be cautious with Derrick Henry, while also recognizing, to your point, I mean, the window to win for this group is now. And, you know, we talked about Kansas City coming back into the fold in the AFC, and they're starting to look more and more like the Kansas City we thought we'd see heading into the season. I still think the AFC is wide open, and if you tell me that Derrick Henry's back and can be effective and this Titans team is getting healthier coming down the stretch, I mean, to me, they've got a pretty good chance to move through in the AFC. I mean, you never feel great about it, but they've got a good chance.
And from the risk perspective, too, you can look at it this way. He has 2 years left on his contract.
Yep.
You know, that's not an eternity if they're, you know, if the absolute worst case happens – Is that a terrible thing? And I mean, you can relieve the dead money after this year is not a big issue, relatively speaking. I mean, that's kind of an ugly way to kind of talk about this, but I'm sure that's part of the thinking too. The investment that they have in him is not so long term and not so cost prohibitive that you can say, well, if this doesn't work out, then we're screwed for years to come. They can, if the absolute worst were to happen, they could handle it from a salary cap perspective.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens on that front with Derrick Henry. I mean, obviously, to me, and we said this at the time of the injury, like, for the Titans to have a legitimate chance, in my mind, to win the Super Bowl, he's got to be on the field. Like, I can't see this team winning a Super Bowl without him.
It's funny how conditioned you get to watching a particular player.
Yep.
Because there have been plays in the last several games, and particularly the Houston game here, where the ball is snapped, Tannehill turns, hands it off, and in your, in sort of your broader vision, you sort of see and feel what's happening, and you're thinking, this one has a chance to go to the house. And it's not Derrick Henry with the ball in his hands, it's Deontay Foreman, and it turns into a 4-yard gain. And like I have no doubts, like, had Derrick Henry been on the field that day, had everything else been the same, but Derrick Henry had been on the field against Houston, Titans would have won that game by 30. And he would have had another 200-yard game against the Texans. I mean, the offensive line blocked great that day. Like, you just and you just have really noticed the last couple of weeks that not everybody's Derrick Henry. That yes, you can rush. You can have two backs rush for 100 yards against the New England Patriots, but it still feels like, yeah, but what if Derrick Henry was in there?
He wouldn't have fumbled. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it's just it's. I mean, he is just a different beast, and I hope Titans fans understand, and I'm pretty sure all of them do, just what a treat it has been to watch this guy the last few years.
Well, to that point, there was a play in the Jacksonville game. I want to say it was in the second quarter, where it's a handoff to Foreman, and he breaks it out to the right, and he's one-on-one with a defensive back. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, oh, boy, one-on-one.
Yeah.
And then, he got 3-4 yard gain, whatever it was.
Yeah, and then the way the play goes, you remember, well, wait, that's not Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I was just sitting there thinking to myself, like, I remember thinking after the play, like, golly, if that was Derrick Henry in that situation, one-on-one with a defensive back, he's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, he's shoving somebody to the side, or he's just outrunning them, and he's gone. And, look, that's not a knock on Deontay Foreman. It just is what it is. We're talking about, at his height, an all-time great running back in Derrick Henry.
Yeah. I mean, the best ball carrier in the NFL, period, right now. And I know that Nick Chubb's out there, and I know Jonathan Taylor's out there, and I know Dalvin Cook is out there, and whoever else you want to name. Derrick Henry is the best ball carrier in the NFL, and he proved it every minute of 8 games this year, and he also proved that he is human, and all the offseason discussion about the workload and everything he's been through the last couple of years, it finally caught up to him. This isn't one of those things where he got rolled up on and it was a freak accident. This feels very much like it was a wear and tear issue. And but again, are you going to go back to those earlier games and say, well, no, we should have given it to him 10 times less every game? Like, no, and this goes back to the discussion of when and if you put him back in. Like, you've got to do what you can to try to win games now in the NFL. This is not the NBA, where San Antonio can go to Oklahoma City on a Tuesday night and say, you know what, we're going to sit our best 3 players. We're still going to win the division by 8 games at the end of the year, whatever. Like, you can't do that in the NFL. You have to win every chance you have to win, because there's just not enough opportunities to do otherwise.
Well, and I said this, when discussing, the workload part of this with Derrick Henry heading into the season, of, Joe was of the mindset that the workload for Henry's going down. Like, you got Julio Jones, you got AJ Brown, the workload's going down. And I understand that thought process. But my point always was, and I think it applies here too when he comes back, you can have a plan,
yeah.
and it's great to have a plan, but when you see that guy running the way he's running and the effect it's having on the defense, it's pretty hard to stick to that plan when you watch it happen.
Yeah, and it when you're confident you're going to get at least 4 or 5 yards on first down, that changes so much of what you can do on second and third down, right? So keep giving it to them on first down, and you know, I get it. I think it's sort of been, people didn't know what to expect from Todd Downing, but I think most people didn't figure that he would be so run heavy. Like I thought if Derrick Henry's workload was down, it would have been because Todd Downing just he just would be caught up sort of in maybe the modern football notion of, you know, spreading the field, throwing the ball, doing all those sorts of things. But he has shown a real old school approach and a willingness to stick with the run game even when things aren't necessarily going as well as they wanted early in the year.
Got a texture that says, seeing how COVID is spreading through pro sports right now, the Super Bowl champion may be the team with the highest vaccination rate. Hope like heck this is clear at the Titans facility. That's good. Well, look, it's an interesting day for the Titans on a lot of fronts. I'm interested to see Zach Cunningham out there. What does the injury report look like? Does David Long Jr. do anything? I mean, there's a lot of things you're watching. Also watching to see if there's any COVID news today, because that is that's spreading around right now in pro sports.
And you know, we saw it with the Titans last year, how it sort of grew there early in the season, and it's, you know, it's been one player each of the last 2 days. That's an innocent enough start. It's similar to what we've seen a couple times early in the year, that the Titans have, either through good fortune or through their approach, have kept it from going crazy other times. You know, see if they can do the same right now.
When we come back, speaking of COVID, maybe some issues with COVID and the Nashville Predators. We'll get into that and more with Adam Vingan from The Athletic. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside the great David Beauclair and Michelle Konezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. And as we do every Wednesday at this time, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Adam Vingan from The Athletic, presented by Bank of England Mortgage. Adam, what's going on? How are we doing?
A little sandstorm this morning.
Yeah, man.
Is that right?
A little bit of sandstorm just for you. Puts us in the mood.
It never gets old.
That's right. Adam, obviously some issues in the NHL right now with COVID-19. Preds get their game postponed against Calgary on Tuesday. And Frank Saravalli reporting yesterday that the Preds could be dealing with some COVID issues of their own. We know that Ryan Johansson is on the COVID list. They did not practice yesterday. They're not practicing today. So this does not sound very good for their game tomorrow against the Colorado Avalanche. What do you make of all this, not only with the Predators, but in the NHL as a whole?
Yeah, as you mentioned, not that Frank needs confirmation, but my understanding is that the Predators are dealing with some positives within the organization. And as you said, the fact that they had a scheduled day off Monday after their road trip. They did not practice Tuesday. They're not practicing today. I think you can read between the lines in terms of what they could be dealing with. But, you know, yesterday around the NHL, it reminded me a lot of that day in March 2020 where sports came to a screeching halt when Rudy Gobert tested positive for COVID-19 and everything seemed to unravel from there. Of course, the good news is, compared to March 2020, we have vaccines. The entire, you know, with the exception of Tyler Bertuzzi of the Detroit Red Wings, every player in the league is vaccinated. So even if these players are experiencing breakthrough cases, the assumption is that they're not getting very sick. So that's good. But we've seen multiple postponements. The Predators have already had two of their games postponed, but it wasn't because of them. The Ottawa Senators last month had an outbreak, and of course the Calgary Flames, who the Predators were supposed to play yesterday, but the Predators have scheduled games Thursday and Friday, and you know, I would certainly not rule out postponement of both of those games. We'll see what happens today, but you know, it would not be surprising at all if the Predators do not play tomorrow and Friday.
It would not be, and we'll see what happens on that front. On the ice, they're in a 5-game winning streak right now. They sweep the road trip. You know, they're right there in kind of a, you know, a jumbled mess right now, the Central, with St. Louis and Colorado, Minnesota leading the way right now. But I got to say, I mean, I've been pretty impressed through 28 games by what I've seen from this group on the ice. They are well ahead of where I thought they would be. What say you about what you've seen for this group so far?
Yeah, I would agree with you. My expectations for this group at the beginning of the season were low. I expected them not to make the playoffs. But they are in a great position right now after 28 games. And, you know, watching those games on the road, you know, specifically the 3 games in the New York metro area, you know, those games typified the identity that the Predators have been trying to build since John Hines became coach nearly 2 years ago. And think about the situation. Let's pinpoint the game against the Devils. So it's the second half of a back-to-back, which is already difficult as is, against a rested opponent because the Devils didn't play the night before. You know, against the Islanders, it was a physical game. They won in the last second on a tip from Ellie Tolvanen. It was an emotionally draining game as well. You know, Matthew Shane gets hurt in that game, isn't available against the Devils. Colton Sissons takes warm-ups but can't go. He's unavailable against the Devils, so they have to dress 11 forwards and 7 defensemen. UC Saros is starting a game after missing the previous 2 games because of a non-COVID illness. You know, the recipe was there for what we like to call a schedule loss. You know, if the Predators would have lost to the Devils, considering all of those circumstances, you could have said, yeah, it makes sense. They were in a disadvantageous position, but they played a solid game and they won. And I think that speaks to the mental toughness that we hear them talk about all the time. And when it comes down to it, you know, they play that game against the Rangers. They're without Matthew Shane. They're without Ryan Johansson. They're playing the 5th best team in the league, and they shut them out on the road. Philip Tomasino scores the lone goal, and this team is night and day from an identity and mental fortitude standpoint than it was 2 years ago. And I think that's a credit to John Hines. It's a credit to the players for buying in. And I think that's why you've seen them have more success than we anticipated.
And I'm talking about turnarounds. You know, Roman Josi gets a lot of attention, rightfully so. Matthias Ekholm because of the big contract and all. But Dante Fabbro, tell me what you've seen from him this year. One of the leaders in plus minus, and I think quietly has put himself back kind of where he needed to be in his career progression. Yes?
Yes, I would agree with that, David. And I asked Roman Josi about that after the game in Detroit, because we saw what happened with Dante at the end of last season. He fell out of the rotation, if I'm not mistaken. He did not play at all in the playoffs against the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yep.
And Roman said that, you know, it's his puck poise. That's the term he used, that, you know, he's solid defensively. You know, he's making the right reads. He's giving Roman the ability to do what Roman does best in terms of creating offense, because he knows that he's got a solid partner back there the baby's crying, and that can be a bit of a distraction sometimes. but he's doing all of the things defensively that allows Roman Josi to be himself, and I think that's a huge stride from last season, because the Predators gave Dante Fabbro plenty to work on in the offseason in terms of building up his strength, you know, working on his skating, and I think you've seen all of that pay dividends. So, you know, we were talking last year, you know, during the offseason or earlier this calendar year, during the offseason, about whether there was still a place on this team for Dante Fabbro. And, you know, he signs a short-term deal, and I think he's made the most of it. I've been really impressed by Dante.
Adam Vidgen from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Adam, what do you make of the goaltending situation? We know about Saros. I've been pretty impressed for the most part by what I've seen out of Riddick so far. How confident do you feel in not just Saros, but the 1-2 punch at goaltender right now?
Well, I think he played well in both games that he played on that road trip against Detroit and against the Islanders. And you know, one of the reasons why the Predators went out and signed Riddick in free agency was because they wanted an experienced backup. And Riddick, you know, has extensive starting experience in the NHL. You know, for a few years, he was the Calgary Flames' number one goaltender. So, you know, it certainly helps to have a younger goaltender with that experience to back up Saros, who, you know, despite how well he's been playing, did not have a lot of starting experience in the NHL, you know, as he took over for Pecorine. So, you know, I've liked what I've seen from Riddick. It hasn't, you know, he's been solid, you know, certainly. But, you know, UC Saros has been exceptional. And when you talk about this team overachieving, you know, you always have to look at goaltending, right? And we saw last year in the second half of last season, you know, just how much of a difference UC made in this team, you know, coming back from the dead. And I think, you know, I think when we talked about, you know, expectations for UC Saros, we thought, well, you know, he can still, we're not expecting him to play as well as he did in the second half of last season. I mean, I think he's, you know, I think he is. I think he's keeping up that pace that we saw down the stretch last year. And that speaks to, you know, how great of a goaltender, you know, he has turned into. But I think Riddick, you know, hasn't played a lot because, remember, early in the season, he was the first Predators player in COVID-19 protocol and missed, yep, I think, 3 weeks. So he didn't get his first start until, I think, like mid-November. But from what I've seen of Riddick, he comes as advertised for a backup goaltender.
Adam, we've seen over the years Philip Forsberg put together some pretty good streaks, and certainly he's been playing well since he came back late last month. Anything different about the way he's piling up points right now as opposed to what he's done previous years that you've noticed?
Not necessarily. I still, you know, I remember the one thing that John Hines talked about in terms of Philip Forsberg when he first got here was power before skill, because we know that Philip Forsberg is a naturally highly skilled player, but he's also a power forward type, and John Hines wanted Philip to lean into that power and let the skill come out through that versus the other way around. And I think that's what's led to some of the success. But no, I mean, I still think, you know, he's a highly effective player, and you think about the play he made to set up Philip Tomasino for the only goal against the Rangers. You know, my stance on Philip Forsberg is clear. I would still be wary of signing him to a long-term contract, but, you know, certainly if this team overachieves as it has and puts itself in a postseason position as we approach the trade deadline in March, you know, we're going to have a similar conversation to the one we had last year about whether this team truly thinks it can do something in the playoffs and whether that should alter their approach at the deadline. But, you know, Philip Forsberg, we know that he is capable of this. You know, he's not going to score 4 goals every night, but I think he's played really well since he came back.
Adam, last thing for you here. I'm going to close this out by asking you a question that there's no way you could really answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. The okay. Olympics are upcoming. Obviously, we've talked about the COVID issues that are going on right now. It's a collectively bargained thing between the NHL and the NHLPA that the players feel really passionately about. They want to play in the Olympics. What do you think ends up happening with this, with COVID and everything going on? It came out, basically, if you test positive while you're at the Olympics over in China, that you're going to have to miss 3 weeks and you're not coming back. What do you think ends up happening with the NHL players and the Olympics coming up here in the next few months?
It was yesterday that reporters in Edmonton were talking to Connor McDavid about his thoughts on the situation, and he said that the risk of having to spend 3 to 5 weeks in isolation is quote-unquote unsettling. And when Connor McDavid is saying that, I have to imagine that the rest of the players in large part feel the same way. And you said, as you said, Robbie, this was something that the NHL, you know, agreed to during negotiations for the next collective bargaining agreement. So they want to negotiate in good faith, and if the players want to go, that's their prerogative. But I just think that what you're seeing in the league right now, and also keep in mind that while there is a, I believe, a $5 million fund that the IIHF is collecting for players who potentially miss time if they have to quarantine in China. If players miss games because of this, their teams are not obligated to pay them.
Yep.
And when you put that all together, I just think it's way too much risk. I still think there are going to be players. I don't know if it's an all-or-nothing proposition where we're going to allow all players to go or none of them can go. But I think there are going to be players that ultimately decide to take that risk. But I would be very surprised if a majority of players chose to go to the Olympics. I just think there's too much risk for not only the player but their team if they get stuck in China for a month. So I know that a lot of players want to go. There are plenty of players who have never represented their country in the Olympics, and this might be their last chance to do so. I just think there's way too much risk, and I ultimately believe that most players will choose not to go.
Adam Vigan from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexrow. Joins us every Wednesday morning at 9:30. Adam, great stuff as always, brother. Appreciate you taking time to be with us.
Thanks, Adam.
All right, guys.
Adam Vigan presented by Bank of England Mortgage. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Adam had to say there. Get to more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join 102.5 The Game as Darren Donica Chase broadcasts live from Newton Nissan at 1461 Nashville Pike in Gallatin this Friday from 10 to 2. The game is teamed up with Souls for Souls to provide a new pair of shoes to Middle Tennessee children experiencing homelessness. Newton Motor Group will also be making a donation for every test drive now through the end of the year, and the game will be accepting cash donations while on site as well. So join us this Friday from 10 to 2 at Newton Nissan in Gallatin and help us give these kids joy this holiday season. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road. Robbie Stanley, David Beauclair, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. Thanks to Adam Vigan for joining us in the last segment. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens with NHL players in the Olympics this year. Obviously, we're just a couple of months away from that now, and as Adam pointed out, there's a big risk that goes along with that. Basically, if you contract COVID while you're over there, you're going to be stuck for about a month. You're not going anywhere. You can't play. There's no chance of you coming back in there. I mean, it's quite the protocol that they have over there in China for this, and I'm interested to see how NHL players view this as we get closer to decision time for them.
And the players, you know, it's tough because the players very much wanted this. Like, the sense a year or so ago was Gary Bettman kind of wanted nothing to do with this. I think most of the owners would have preferred not to send the players, but the players really wanted to, they like these tournaments. They like there is a real national pride in these sorts of things, and it's always really good hockey too, right?
Yeah.
So the guys who get to do it really really revel in the opportunity, and it's not as easy as saying, well, we're just not going to go now because the players pushed for this to start with.
Yep. Yeah, and it's collectively bargained. I mean, David Poile pretty much said yesterday on Darren Donick and Chase, like, yeah, it's collectively bargained. So, I mean, the players, if they decide not to go, then we won't go. But if they don't, probably going to go.
Like, yeah. That's
basically what it boils down to.
Everybody's just going to have to take their chances. I mean, Adam noted, like, the whole league is vaccinated. So the risk of somebody getting like seriously ill or dying or having it turn into a career threatening situation, whatever, seems minimal if anything. But there's still we've talked about like Mikael Granlund early in the show and what he's meant to the Predators this season. If he's playing for Sweden, for example, and like you say, he's out for 3 to 5 weeks after the Olympics, what does that do to the Predators?
Yeah.
And everybody will have guys like that on their team that you're not taking anybody's fifth and sixth defenseman over there, right? You're taking the best players off of every team in the NHL.
We'll see what happens on that front. Going to be an interesting day on a lot of fronts with COVID. Obviously, the Predators, they're scheduled to take on Colorado tomorrow. They did not practice yesterday. They're not practicing today. Frank Saravalli reporting yesterday the Predators dealing with some COVID issues. So I would say at least the Colorado game may be in doubt at this moment. We'll see what happens and whether or not the NHL has something to say about that today. And also the Titans. I mean, you've had a COVID outbreak in the NFL. The Browns have 14 players on their COVID list right now. This is it's become quite the story in the world of sports over the last couple of days or so.
It's, competitive balance can shift because of this. It's just as much a part of as injuries and everything else of sports right now. And after last year, sports don't want to shut down. They can't afford to shut down. That was made very clear when college football cobbled together a season and the NHL put together a season last year and all the all to the great lengths that the NFL went to get through last season. That leagues are not going to shut down, so teams are going to have to find ways to deal with this because it's, and again, no one can say they didn't see it coming. Everyone said, watch out what happens after Thanksgiving because so many people are going to be getting together. There's in different ways and through family and events and things and what have you. And here we are a couple weeks after Thanksgiving, and lo and behold, we've got a big outbreak going on, and the sports world is not exempt to it. So Everybody's going to have to muddle through some way.
David Beauclair, we appreciate you joining us today.
I am happy to have done it, and I appreciate you having me. I appreciate the listeners for accommodating me today. I know I'm not the guy you're tuning in for, but it was fun.
It was fun. You did a great job, as always. We'll be back tomorrow. Joe Rexroad back in the saddle. Darren Dahlin and Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.